Okay, we're on the top Mem Gimel tonight. So I'm going to begin with the top, please, the top line of Mem Gimel Aleph. Okay, Manitin. Hamafkid Maor Eitz L'Shulchani. Now, a person leaves money with a Shulchani. Shulchani is the money changer, and he's leaving money with him. And the way that it's going to come out, the Malach and the Gemara, that the Shulchani is a Shomer Chinam. In other words, he's keeping an eye on the money. But obviously, the Shulchani, you know, he needs money to change all the time and things like that. It's very valuable to have money around. So mafkid ma'aretz l'shulchani im tzrurin lo yishtamish bahen. If the money is bundled up, so the shulchani should not use it. L'fichachim avdu inechad b'priyutan. So he's saying that if he's a shomer chinam, so and that's what he is, the shomer chinam. If he can't use it, so then he's only chayev on pshia. He's not chayev on geneva veda. So if something happens to the coins, he's off the hook. Mutarin. If the bundle is loose or the money is loose, he has free access to the money. And again, the idea is that there's an understanding that the person is leaving the money, and we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more, but there's an understanding that the person is, you know, consenting, you know, by implication that if you need it, you could use it. So, mutarin yishtamish bahen. So if they're not bundled together, so then the Shulchani is free to use it. If they're lost, it's chayavah priyutan. So we'll see in a minute that there's going to be a question when he switches over, is he a shomer sachar? Okay, shomer sachar is chayavah gneva veda, or he may even be a shoel at this point in time. What? Yeah, but the shoel is chayavah even unknown. So we'll see in the Gemara. We're just getting to the Mishnah. Let's be patient. Wait till I finish the Mishnah. Let's wait till the Gemara. Let's not jump the gun. Okay, so Chayabach Riyutan. Okay, let's look at the Rashi on the second line from the top. And the Rashi, he says, Mishum Surin lo yishtamish behem bit me. Oh, that's the Gemara. So let's go back to the Mishnah. He says, Eitzel Balabaya, they leave his money by a Balabas. In other words, not by a Shulchani, leaves it by a homeowner. Bein Surin or Bein Mutarin lo yishtamish behem. So there, whether the money is bundled together or the money's loose, so, in other words, the person doesn't anticipate that the balabas is going to use the money. In other words, if I bring it to a shulchani and I leave my money with the shulchani, then under certain circumstances, my thinking is the shulchani is going to use the money. The shulchani is the money changer. He's going to maybe change like the copper coins to silver coins or the silver coins to gold coins. But I understand he's going to use the money. But by a balabas, it's not my expectation that he's going to use the money. He says, the pifatim avduinu chayvavliutan. So, the balabas remains a shomer chinam. Chenvani kebalabai to Rav Meir. What about a chenvani, a merchant? So according to Rav Meir, he's like a balabas. Rav Yehuda Meir, chenvani kushulchani. Rav Yehuda says a chenvani is like a shulchani. Okay, let me just go briefly because Seth just walked in. But we're talking about somebody who leaves money with a shulchani. Shulchani is a money changer. So the Gemara says that if he leaves it with him, and the money is bundled up, and we'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about this. But it's in a way that the Shulchani understands he does not have use of the money. Then the Shulchani is just a shomer chinam, so he's chayavam shia, but he's patering gneva veda and patering own sin. But if the person brings the money to the Shulchani and the Shulchani is the money is open, the implication being that the person, you know, he wants the Shulchani to keep an eye on the money, but the Shulchani also could use it if he chooses. So we'll see. Shulchani either becomes a Shomer Sachar, or maybe even under certain circumstances a Shoal. We'll see in the Gemara. But then he's Chayav on Gnei Baved, he may even be Chayav on Onsin. We'll see in the Gemara a little bit more about that. Then we said, though, if I leave the money with a Balabas, then the understanding is whether it's tied up or it's open, I don't expect the Balabas to use it, so he's a Shomer Chinam. And then we had a Chenvani, a merchant, and there's a machloket between Rav Meir and Rabbi Huda, who are bar pluktis through Shas. Is a chenvani like a balabas that, you know, he can't use it, and mimele he's a shomer chinam, or is he like the shulchani? Whatever the shulchani is, that's what the chenvani is. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us? Anyway, what's up? Yeah,
money.
Yeah.
Money using it.
Let's go back. Wait. In other words, I'm not leaving it there like in the Beltarine. I'm saying, here's a bag of money. Please keep an eye on my bag of money. What?
No.
Let's see who's asking who for who a favor. We'll see in the Gemara. It's not so clear. We'll see who's getting a favor from whom. Okay, all right. Everybody good? All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Mishum desurin lo yishtamish behen," because they're bound up. So the first case of the Mishnah is you bring the money to the Shulchani, the money is bundled up together. You can't use it. So now it's time for the Rashi. In the second line, Rashi, "Mishum desurin lo yishtamish behen bitnia." What type of like revealing his thinking that he doesn't want him to use it? In other words, a person knows the Chenvani has a constant need for money. So even if it's bundled up, so everybody leaves their money bundled up. I don't always leave the money loose. So what type of siman is this that the money is bundled up? So back to the Gemara, Amar Ravasi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Bitzurin v'chatum in Shana. Ravasi says that in Rav Yehuda, when the Tana Mishnah says Bitzurin, it means that there's Surin and then there's a seal on it. So if I bring this bag of money to the Shulchani and it has a seal on it, obviously my intent is not that you should like break into it and use it. Let's see back in the Gemara. Rav Mari Amar, B'kesher Mishun. Rav Mari says, no, it doesn't mean that there was a seal on it, but the kesher wasn't the typical kesher that's used, but it's also an understanding that the person, it's hands-off. Ikeda Amri, others say, by Ramari, others say that Ramari posed it as a question, kesher mishunamai, what would be the halakha if it was a kesher mishuna, and he leaves that as a teiku, leaves that as a teiku. All right, everybody good so far? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Mutarin yishtamish ben ukulu, he said, if the money is loose, then the shulchani could use the money. So Amar Rav Huna, Bafilu Nansu. So Rav Huna says that even if the Mishnah is saying that even when an onus takes place, the way Rav Huna understands the Mishnah, that the Shulchani is responsible even for onsim. That's the way Rav Huna understands the Mishnah. He says Amar Rav Huna, Bafilu Nansu. So the Tana of the Mishnah says, if we look in the Mishnah, it says, so the Tana says if they were lost, you're chayav for it. Rav Huna says Shat Mishnah means even for own sin he's chayav for it. He says Vaha Abdu Katani, but it says Abdu, it doesn't say own sin. If own sin, we expect the Tana Mishnah to say ones. Kidda Rabba. Like Rabba explains, and we had this statement from Rabba elsewhere, where Rabba is explaining the Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim. He says the Amar Rabba Nigdavu, when it talks about the money being stolen, it means Ballista Mizuyan with armed bandits. Abdu Shatavasvina Tabayam, that is both sang can see, meaning that an onus occurred. So sometimes the Tana Mishnah uses the word Abdu, but it doesn't mean in the typical fashion, but it means a type of Aveda, which could be an onus. If the boat sinks, that's a type of onus. So that's the way he understands Pshat in the Mishnah. So the so let's look at Rashi on that, the second arrow line of Rashi. Even if he didn't use the money, the Mihashtabi Shoel Laihu. So Rashi introduces the idea that now the Shulchani is a Shoel. A Shoel is somebody who borrows the money. And the implication being that just that he has the potential to use the money, so and that's the understanding between them, in other words, of the implied understanding that if you need the money, and that's all Shulchani does with money the whole day, he's busy changing money all the time, so he always needs cash, money, copper coins, silver coins, gold coins. So Mela, he has a constant need for currency. So Mela, he becomes a Shomer Sakar, because he becomes a Shoel, according to Rav Huna. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman though says, Nansu lo. Rav Nachman says, no. The Pshat in the Mishnah is that if he's the Shulchani, even though he has the right to use it, he's not chayav for onsin, meaning that he's just a Shomer Safar, just a Shomer Safar. So Amarli Rav the Rav Nachman. So Rav says, Rav Nachman, Ladidach to Amar Nansu lo, according to you that said, onus, you're not chayav for onus. Alma lo habi shoel alayhu. So the implication being that the Shulchani is not a Shoel. If he's a Shoel, then he would be chayav for onsin. So in Shoel Lohavi, if he's not a Shoel, he says Shomer Safar Nami Lohavi. He's not a Shomer. In other words, all he's got is the potential to use the coins. So if you're saying that this potential is not equal to conferring a benefit on the Shulchani, then he's not only not a Shoel, he's not a Shomer Safar either. The essence of Shomer Safar is I'm getting something for having the money. So the person is not paying any money to the Shulchani. The only thing the Shulchani has is the potential to use the money. But if you don't categorize the potential as a hana'a, and therefore you don't say he's not a shoel, then he's not a shomer sachar either. How do you learn from the Mishnah? So Amarle, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, "Baha modinala, in this aspect, I concede to you the hoil v'nehaneh mahaneh, that indeed, with the hana, in other words, that even though I say he's not a shoel, he says until he uses it, but nevertheless, I think he is a shomer sachar because of the potential." Because he has the potential to use it, that's worth something to him. And Mela, there's a certain the Hana goes both ways. So the Shulchani gets benefit that he has potential to use the coins, and that converts into being a Shomer Safar vis-a-vis the Baal HaBas. He says, let's see back in the Gemara. With the Hana that here the Gemara says that if there's something that comes up that he needs to use the money. In other words, that he that, right he might need cash to buy something. Shomer Safar. He's a Shomer Safar. So within let's go slowly. So within the sheet of Rav Nachman, we have three stages. Either the Shulchan Aruch is a Shomer Chinam, if the money is sealed off, he has no right to use it. He's a Shomer Chinam. If he has a right to use it and he does not use it, he's a Shomer Safar. If he has the right to use it and he does use it, according to Rav Nachman, then he becomes a Shoel. Then he becomes a Shoel, and then he's Chayiv even a known sin. And according to Rav Huna, it just goes from Shomer Chinam to Shoel. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara, and we'll get to the end of the Sugya, and then we'll pause. We'll go over and take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, and we miss you here tonight, Fern. We're looking again for you. I don't see you here though. Okay. Let's see back. So Eitvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. So Rav Nachman poses a question to Rav Huna. Again, Rav Nachman has the threefold standard, right? So he poses a question to Rav Huna. Now, this is from a Mishnah in Masechet Me'ilah. Me'ilah is talking about if a person uses property in the base of Mikdash in an unauthorized fashion. Hamafkid Maor Eitzel Shulchani. It's talking about a gizvar, somebody who's a treasurer in the base of Mikdash, so he has authority to handle the money of the base of Mikdash. And then he gives, but he forgot this money belonged to the base of Mikdash, and he gives the money to the Shulchani. In Tzrurin, Lo Yishtamish Behen. So if the money he gives to the Shulchani in Tzrurin, it's bundled up, so the Shulchani should not use it. So therefore, if the Shulchani does use the money, it gives that's me'ilah on the part of the gizbar, but it's not me'ilah on the part of that's me'ilah on the part of Shulchani. That's not me'ilah on the part of the gizbar. In other words, the gizbar gave him money, but it was tzurin. That means he can't use it, and yet the Shulchani did use it. So that's on the Shulchani's head. So the Shulchani did me'ilah, not the gizbar. But the part we need is as follows. V'imutarin, if the money is loose, yishtamish behen, then the Shulchani could use it. L'fichach imhotzi, therefore, if the Shulchani did use the money, ma'ala gizbar. So the gizbar commits me'ilah. V'yamrit afilu nensu, if you say, as you do say, so Rav Huna holds that from the get-go, the Shulchani is chayav for onsen. Now, if say the Shulchani is chayav for onsen, means that the Shulchani becomes a shoel from the get-go, even whether he uses it or not. In other words, according to Rav Huna, if I bring my money to the Shulchani and it's unbound money, then the Shulchani has the right to use the money, and he's already a shoel. Now, a shoel means that I get to use the money. Means a shoel is like a person who borrows the money. In other words, like it's under he's used for his own purposes. So Rav Nachman is asking Rav Huna, if you are correct that he immediately becomes a shoel, why does the Tana Mishnah say it's only if he spends the money, then please just a minute, only if the gizbar spends the money, then only if the Shulchani spends the money, then the gizbar is chayav for me'ila because he gave him permission to use the money. But according to you, once he gives the money, he has a right to use it. And he's a shoel, so the shoel is equivalent to like giving out money, like loaning money, to somebody to use for their own purposes, and that's an act of me'ilah. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, "Why does the Tana say that he has to actually spend the money? The Shulchani does for the gizbar to be chayev. Even if he didn't spend the money, the gizbar should also be chayev for me'ilah." Because he's a shoel, he's like it's like in essence lending money to him. So Amar Le, so Rav Huna says back to Rav Nachman, who did not look out the lo hotzi. You're right. In other words, the pshat in the Mishnah though is not the way you're saying. The Pshat in the Mishnah is that even if the if he gives him the money and it's not bound up, then even the way I understand Pshat in the Mishnah, Rav Huna is saying, then even if the Shulchani did not spend the money, immediately there's an act of Milah that's committed. So why does the Tana say if he's Hotzi, he committed this? So he says, but I did Tana Reisha Hotzi, since in the Reisha of the Mishnah, he's talking about where the money was spent, but the Gizbar is not Chayav Milah in that case, the Shulchani is. Tana Seifa Nami Hotzi. So for symmetry of language, the Tana also mentions Hotzi in the Seifa. But in Achinami, according to me, Rav Huna, even if he didn't spend the money, it would be the same thing. Okay, just give me 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Let me just see. 1 second, 1 second. Yeah. Let's look at the one Rashi, the Amrei Rafilu Nensu, in the Rashi around the 20th narrow line. The Amrei Rafilu Nensu, Tana Manitin, the Chayav Shulchani Bakriyutan. If you want to say that the Tana of our Mishnah is saying that even for onus, the Kanvani is Chayav, the Shulchani is Chayav, Nimsa Mishashiv Yidu Eslo, Yasumer. Then, as a corollary to that, you have to say from the time that he gives him the money, then it leaves the Rishus of Hekdesh, and now it's in the Shulchani. Benasak Moshe Lavalo, it's as if he loans him the money. Bein Hotza Gidolamizu, that's the greatest Hotza. In other words, Hotza is your, it's yours to use as you choose. So Maya, your Hotzi, why does it say that the Shulchani has to spend the money? Just giving it to the Shulchani should be the act of Me'ila. All right, let's just go over once more. Okay, we'll repeat the question and the answer, then we'll repeat the whole Gemara. Okay, let's just 1 minute. Now, all right. So we had a machloket between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Machloket is that when somebody brings money to a shulchani and the money is not bound up, so what is the status of the shulchani? Is the shulchani A, a shomer sachar, or is the shulchani B, a shoel? So Rav Huna holds he's a shoel because since he has the right to use the money wherever he wants, he's a shoel. And Rav Nachman holds no, he's not a shoel, it just is the potential. If he actually uses the money, then he's a shoel. Otherwise, between then and now, he's shomer sachar. That's the machlok between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. Then the Gemara, Rav Nachman poses a question against Rav Huna. So, according to Rav Huna, if I bring him money to Shulchani, Shulchani is already a shoel, means he could use the money for whatever he wants. So, the Mishnah says in Masechet Me'ilah that if a gizbar, a treasurer in the Beis HaMikdash, who's entrusted with the money of the Beis HaMikdash, and makes a mistake and takes the money from the Beis HaMikdash and gives it to the Shulchani, and he gives it to the Shulchani and it's not tied up, the Mishnah says if the Shulchani is motzi, if he spends the money, then and under those circumstances the Gizbar commits an act of Me'ilah. So Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, if you, Rav Huna, are correct from the time that I give the money to the Shulchani, then it's an act of he's a shoel. That means that even before he spends it, it's an act of Me'ilah. In other words, like loaning, it's like as if I lent the money to him. Once I lend money, I'm taking it from the Rishus HaHekdesh and putting it in the Rishus HaChulin. So Me'ilah, why does the Mishnah say that only if the Shulchani spends the money, then the Gizbar is chayav for Me'ilah? Even if he doesn't spend the money, just giving it to him in a loose fashion is like loaning the money to him, if you are correct. So Rav Huna says, you're right. In other words, he is chayav for Me'ilah, the way I learned the Pshat in the Mishnah, Rav Huna says, even before the Shulchani spends it. The only reason the Tana mentions spending is because in the Reish of the Mishnah he mentions spending, so therefore he continues on for symmetry of language. But Imen Hachinami, according to Rav Huna, the way Rav Huna understands the Mishnah, right away he's chayav for Me'ilah. Okay, let's just again, all right, I think we pretty much reviewed everything already. Oh, all right, now. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? It means that the person, did the mafkid do something to indicate clearly that the Shulchani does not have permission to use the money? So the first pshat in the Gemara is he gives him a bag of money which is sealed and with his seal on it, and that's a siman that you can't use the money. Or the second shot the Gemara has, he gives him the money with an unusual knot, and that's the siman. But if it's a clear sign, that's a sign to the Shulchani, you are not allowed to use the money. Otherwise, the implication is you are allowed to use the money. Okay? Everybody good? Good? Okay, let's move on. All right. We're 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Gimel Med Aleph in the next Mishnah. Okay. Hashaleach Yad B'Pikado. Now, we don't know what the Pshat in this Mishnah is. We must all be patient. The Gemara goes through different ukimtas and what the Pshat in the Mishnah is. So the Mishnah says, Hashaleach Yad B'Pikado. If a person misappropriates a Pikadon, so he misappropriates a Pikadon, he's a Gazlan. He says, Beit Shami Omrim Yilakeh B'Chasir V'Yater. Now, the question is, we think it's one evaluation. We think that, in other words, there's the point in time he receives the chapsa, then there's the point in time when he does shlichus yad, which is when he steals it, and then eventually the chapsa gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. So when we think the pshat in the Mishnah is when I'm evaluating damages, at which point do I look to evaluate the damage? So we think the pshat in the Mishnah is that shamarim yilakeh b'chaser v'yater. The Shammai says that the shomer is going to get the worst if it goes down or it's worth more. Meaning, let's say you have the two times it could be when he does shlichus yad was stealing it, and then when the item is destroyed. So let's say he steals the item on Rosh Chodesh Adar, does shlichus yad on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and then on Rosh Chodesh Nisan the item is destroyed. So the chaser, let's say it went down in value between Rosh Chodesh Adar and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it was worth $1,000 on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and worth $500 on Rosh, it was worth $1,000 on Rosh Chodesh Adar and worth $500 on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Beit Shammai says, in those circumstances, the shomer is up for the most expensive price, which is the Rosh Chodesh Adar price. Uviater, let's say instead of going down in value, went up in value. So it was worth 1,000, and now it's worth 1,500 at the time that he destroys it. Then we think Beit Shammai is saying he's got to pay the 1,500. So the shomer, who does shlichus yad, has got the worst of all possible worlds in terms of valuation. That's what we think the pshat in the Mishnah is. Beit Hillel rim tishat hotzah. We think the pshat in Beit Hillel is that Beit Hillel just looks at the moment that it's destroyed. That's what we think. Rabbi Kiva mer shat hatviya. Rabbi Kiva says we're going to evaluate it at the time when he sued in court. Now, obviously, the thing doesn't exist, but we'll see shot in the Gemara, okay? Let's just look at Rashi on this, and then we'll see in the Gemara, okay? So the first line in Rashi, yilakeh b'chaser v'yater, im chasru dameha, if its value went down, shehuzla b'shuk, in other words, the market price went down, yishalim dameha, so the shomer has to pay the money, moshta shabba b'shash shalach v'yad, he has to pay money as of the time that he did shlichus yad, which is like misappropriating it. So if he used part of it or he did a kinyan with it, shehi shat gzeila. That's the time of gzeila. V'chein kol ha-gazlanim yishalmim shat gzeila. That's a standard rule. Gazlanim normally pay as of the time of the gzeila. V'kigon shotzi ha-shein ha-bein. And we're talking about a case where he used it and the item no longer exists. Aval im yishna ba'ein k'mot she-gazla omer lo if the thing still exists, so then the Goslin, or in this case the Shomer, says, here's your item. He says, Kindamin Gabi Mabeya Benifsal, true of an inmate, Kirk goes El Kama. Okay, and then Ubiyeter, Im Shad Tabiyad Mishlafayad, Benit Yakra, Baharka Kotzia, Lo Kebiyeter Damel Sham Shed Kotza. Okay, so again, we don't know what the Pshat of the Mishnah is, but my initial Pshat, we think that the Mishnah is speaking about fluctuation in price. So we have a shomer who misuses the pikadon. He misuses the pikadon means the shomer becomes a gazlan. Shomer equals the gazlan in this case. So he becomes a gazlan when he misuses it, or maybe he does an act of kinyan with intent to acquire it for himself, but he steals it on one day, let's say Rosh Chodesh Adar, and then the item is used up or totally destroyed a month later on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So in between Adar and Nisan, the value of the item changed, either went down or went up. So we think that Beit Shammai is saying if the value goes down, he owes the higher price, which is the Rosh Chodesh Adar price. Right, right. And if, on the other hand, the value went up, we're going to pay the higher price, which is the Rosh Chodesh Nisan price. That's the way we think Beit Shammai is saying. And we think that Beit Hillel is saying you'll always pay the price when it's destroyed. And then we think that Rabbi Akiva is saying you'll pay the price at the time when he was brought to death. We'll see in a minute. Okay, that's what our initial thinking is in the Mishnah. Anybody have questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? If you what? Yeah, we spoke about this in the past. Again. So if the Lulav and Esrog is still around, you say here's the Lulav and Esrog. But if it's not around, if it's not around, then the question begins to. But we'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara's not going to stay with that shot. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says now, first the Gemara is going to do a din from Rabbah, like put aside the Mishnah on the side. Now we're going to do a din from Rabbah, and then we'll link it up with our Mishnah. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbah, Haiman beGazal Chavita deChamra meChavrei. If Shimon steals a barrel of wine from Reuven, so not dealing with a shomer anymore. We're dealing straight gzela, right? So our mission is shomer. This is gzela." He says, "Haiman beGazal Chavita deChamra meChavrei miKar Shavi Zuza." So at the time he stole it was worth one zuz, Hasha Shavi Arba, and now at the time that the wine is getting destroyed or used up, it's worth four zuz. Tavra Oshatya, if he broke the keg or he drank it, Mishalim Arba, then he pays the four zuzim, which is the price at the time it was destroyed. Itbar Mimela, if the barrel just broke on its own, he just steals it, leaves it on the corner of his house, and it breaks, Mishalim Zuzim. Then he pays the price at the time of the theft. Okay, that's Rabbah's halacha. So my taima focusing on the first halacha. So Rabbah says he steals something worth a zuz, he leaves it around, eventually he drinks up the whole barrel, or he makes a hole in the barrel, breaks. So and then at that time it's worth four zuzim, so he owes the four zuzim. That's the first halacha Rabbah says. So my taima. Kaven the ita hadra lamara the ahi shatilay the katabra. Since if the item existed, he would just give it back to the owner. In other words, if you know, he's got the barrel, got the barrel, got the barrel. So if somebody would come up, they would din or he wanted to do tshuva, he would just give the barrel of wine back to him and come on. So Mela, he learns though that when he's drinking it and using it, that's the moment we're going to say is the act of gzela. Utsanan called Gazlanim Mishalim Kishara. So all Gazlanim pay at the time of the theft. That's where we're going to view that as the time of the theft. Itvar Mimela, if it broke on its own, Mishalim Zuzah, my taima, Hashlo Abid Lavalomidi. He didn't do anything. Amaikamachayvitlai, what are you machayiv him for? Ayishayta to the Gazla. You're chayiv him for his original act of theft. Ayishayta Zuzah Hudashav. At that moment, it's worth a Zuz. Okay. So again, so Rabbah has a din. That if a, again, it's doing a fluctuation in prices. If a person steals a barrel of wine, and at the time of the theft, it's worth one zuz, and then let's say a month later, it's worth four zuz, and then he has the Gazan has a dinner party and or whatever, he drinks all the wine, and then it's worth four zuz, or he breaks the barrel and then it's worth four zuz. So Rabbah says if that's the scenario, then the Gazan owes four zuz. But, and the reason it was four zuz is because if the barrel would be around, you could just give him back the barrel. So, but the barrel's not around. So we view the act of drinking as the act of gzela. But if he didn't drink it up, so then he's going to pay one zuz, and then it just broke on its own. He's just sitting there, it broke on its own through no act on the part of the goslin. Then we view the act of gzela as the initial act and when it was worth one zuz. Okay, that's what Rabbah says. Let's pause for another eight lines, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay? So now we're going to link this up with our Mishnah. Five lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the Hillel Rim Kishat Hotza. In our Mishnah, we were talking about a Shomer. The Hillel says that how do you evaluate the item that the Shomer misappropriated? Kishat Hotza. My Kishat Hotza, Ilay Mikshat Hotza Min HaOlam. So if you will say, the way I explained the Mishnah, the time that it's being destroyed. That, in other words, at some point in time, the cheps is destroyed. In my example, I had Rosh Hashanah Adar and Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Uvamai. So, what were we talking about? Iba Chaser, if we're talking about where the value had gone down, he says, Mi Ikilaman da Amar. Does anybody hold, in other words, if the value he steals, it's worth X number of dollars when he steals it, and it's worth less at the time that it's destroyed. Yeah. So, it went down. So you want to say, so in the Mishnah, Beit Hillel says, Kishat Hotza. So Kishat Hotza means when it's destroyed, Mi'ikilaman da'amar, does anybody say you would pay the lesser price? But tonight, we learned in the Mishnah, Kol Gazlanim Mishalim Kishat Gzela, that all Gazlanim pay Kishat Gzela, meaning the Kishat Gzela is the floor. You're always going to owe at least, in other words, if the item's around, you give the item back. But if the item's not around, so then you're not paying less than Kishat Gzela. So it can't be, we don't think, that would be what Beit Hillel means. V'ibayeter, if we say it means that the price went up. So the price went up, and then we think the Beit Hillel is saying, so the price is worth more at the time it's destroyed. And Beit Hillel says you'll pay the amount when it's
Higher.
destroyed, the higher amount, kind of Beit Shammai. Then Beit Hillel would be saying the same as Beit Shammai. That's what Beit Shammai says. Beit Shammai says it'd be the Zal Bazach, the same thing. Because Beit Shammai says if the price went down, you pay Kshas Gzeila. If the price goes up, you pay the time and it's destroyed. The way you're explaining Beit Hillel, Beit Hillel would be the same as Beit Shammai, and that doesn't seem to make too much sense. He says, Ella, top line on Amud Beis, Ella Pshita, Shat Hotzami Beit Ba'alim. So we're going to re-explain Beit Hillel. When Beit Hillel says Kshat Hotza, it does not mean Hotza Min HaOlam when the item is destroyed. Kshat Hotza means the time when it was removed and the time of the theft, the time of the Shlichus Yad. He says, in other words, here when we talk about Beit Ba'alim, in other words, the person is given a chafetza with authority from the owner. In other words, not breaking someone's home, which I better show here. So I give you authority, but it leaves the ownership of the Ba'alim, or leaves the domain of the Ba'alim, when the Shomer does Shlichus Yad in it. So Pshita Beit Ba'alim. So then we want to say that Beit Hillel is saying we're always going to look. So the way we understand it now, Beit Shammai has two dates to look at: the date of Shlichus Yad and the date of when it's destroyed. So Beit Shammai is going to hold that if whichever one is higher, we're going to take. So if it's time when it's when a Shlichus Yad is higher, means it went down in value, we'll do that time. We'll do the earlier time. If it goes up in value, we'll do the second time. And we think the Beit Hillel says we'll always have one date, which is the date of Shlichus Yad. That's what we think we're saying. He says, so if that's the case, Lema Rabba da Amar Beit Shammai. So we just learned an incident with Rabba. Rabba had the guy stole the barrel of wine, and it went up in price, and he says he owes the four zuzim. But the way we just explained Machloket, Beit Hillel would say you owe one zuz. So does you think Rabba is following Beit Shammai? We know that Beit Shammai from Beit Hillel is Eina Halakha. It doesn't seem likely Rabba would follow Beit Shammai. So Amalak Rabba. So Rabba would say to you, "V'yeter kuli amalo pligi." When the price goes up, there's no machloket. Everybody agrees you pay the higher price. So in other words, they have two dates: the date of Shlichus Yad, which is the date of Gzeila, and the date that it's used up or destroyed. So if it goes up in price, Rabba would say, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree you pay the higher price. Ki pligi b'chaser. But the machloket is when it went down in value. Beit Shammai sabri shlichut yad einat sricha chisaron. So Beit Shammai holds that a person could be shaleach yad. He doesn't have to in any way destroy the item or use up the item. He could have shlichus yad without chisaron. B'chi chaser b'shutit dei chaser. So went down in value. It went in other words. When he does Shlichus Yad, that's the beginning of the Gzeila. That's the beginning of the Gzeila. So what's the Shlichus Yad in this case? So Beit Shammai could say, it doesn't, the Shomer doesn't have to use the item or like take a cup of wine for himself or something to have Shlichus Yad. Beit Shammai could say, actually the next mission is going to say, Beit Shammai says that if a person just thinks he's going to use it, he's going to use it, he has Shlichus Yad. According to Beit Shammai, if I just say my intent is to keep this for myself, that's Shlichus Yad, according to the next Mishnah. But you could even say, the way the Aretz Chaim had, that he does an act of kinyan, lifts it up with intent to acquire it with kinyanic zela. So Beit Shammai holds that once, so on Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Shomer acquired it. And then when it went down in value, that was in his rishus, it went down. So he's chayav the higher price, which is the price at the time of the Shlichus Yad. Uvid Hillel Sabri, Shlichut Yad Sricha Chisaron. Beit Hillel holds that for Shlichus Yad, it's not enough just to do an act of kinyan, we think. You have to actually use it. You have to damage it. You have to impair it as the property in some way. B'chi chaser b'shus demari chaser. So when it went down in value, it was still in the, you know, in the domain of the Baalim, of the original Baalim. So if it went down in value, we think we're saying right now with Beit Hillel, so you're going to pay the lower price because you're not really doing, in other words, there's really not two dates according to Beit Hillel. There's only one date, the date of Shlichus Yad, which is the date that you use it up. In other words, we have one date when he did Shlichus Yad, that was Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the second date when he used it up or destroyed it, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Beit Shammai says we're going to take the higher of the two, which is the Rosh Chodesh Adar, if it goes down in value. Beit Hillel holds that there was no Shlichus Yad in Rosh Chodesh Adar because you have to have you have to do some act of chisaron in order to have shlichus yad. And he only has the act of chisaron or shlosh nisa when he drinks up the keg or whatever he's doing. So then we're going to use that date, which would be the lower price. That's the way that Beit Hillel, that's the way Beit Hillel says it. Okay, so again, so Rabbah did the higher price that they both agree on. But when the price goes down, so then there's a machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Okay, and that's the way we think we're going with this. Okay?
Can I ask a question at this point?
Okay, just 1 second, because Yosef's got a question, then we'll get to you. Okay?
Why is he only saying that the price goes down?
Yeah. So let's take a look. Let me take a look at, let's look at the Rashi on this. Okay, Yosef asked, why does Beit Hillel say this only when the price goes down? Why don't they say this when the price goes up? Everybody agrees when the price goes up, that he's got to pay the higher price. Okay, let's take a look. No, wait. Within Beit Hillel, you don't really have a question. In other words, no. In other words, Beit Hillel holds the Shlichus Yad is when the thing is getting destroyed. So, if in other words, if I use it up and it's worth more, then that's the price. If I use it up and it's worth less, then that's the price. In other words, he gets the item, and then on Rosh Chodesh Adar, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, he the Shomer thinks, he says, I'm going to take this for myself. I don't care about the owner anymore. I'm taking it for myself. So according to Beit Shammai, at that moment, he has Shlichus Yad. According to Beit Hillel, nothing has taken place at that time. Zero. Then on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he drinks up the whole barrel of wine.
Is true.
He destroys it. So Beit Hillel is easy. Beit Hillel says the money is at Rosh Chodesh Nisan for lower or for higher. That's when he does the Shlichus Yad. Yeah, so Beit Hillel is the easier one. But you're really asking within Beit Shammai. So Beit Shammai says the Shlichus Yad is when he just thought that he's going to steal it. But notwithstanding that, Beit Shammai says if it goes up in price, he's going to pay the entire amount. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara. Wait 1 second. Let me just read the Rashis. Then we get a move, and then I'll take and get to Fern, and then that's going to be it. Okay, now. So he says, Ki pli b'chaser, third white line in Rashi. He says, V'kami Beit Hillel, shat hotzam min ha'olam. So when Beit Hillel says, that's when Beit Hillel says shat hotzam min ha'olam. So we're going back to the original shat. This is shat hotzah. It means that the time of Shlichus Yad. With kashulach, kol gazlanim mishalim kshat gzeila. So you could ask the question. Mishnah says that all gazlanim pay at the moment of gzeila. Ibgzeila mamish the gazlanim kara hachanami. So if it would be like a garden variety gzeila, that would be true. Aval hakad v'teira atal yadei. Here he got it like licitly under like color of authority or actual authority. So that's where you go now. 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. Yeah, the only thing you could say is like this. You see. Now again, so Yosef's asking, according to Beit Shammai, he does the Shlichus Yad on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and then on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he uses it and it's worth more. So why, according to Beit Shammai, does he pay the greater items? That's as far as we had initially. Remember, like, in other words, if it would be around, I'd say, Hareishal Falafanacha. So now that I'm using it, so we view this as the Shasik Zela. In other words, now we're going to view it as Shasik Zela. Okay, Fern, what do you have for me? Then we got to go.
Why are we not viewing any of this as a knas, like a kefil type of setup, the way we had in the beginning of the perek? I know that was Geneva and this is Gezela. So
Right.
how does that, how
I
does
think it's kind of one's got nothing to do with the other. Geneva, kefil is only an act of Geneva. It's not an act of Geneva here, so it's off the table in the kefil. But here we're talking
why
about.
is Gezela not giving
But
you?
this is what the Torah says. The Torah says that only Geneva is chayiv kefil. Okay, not Gzela. He says right. The Gemara in Bava Kamma discussed it, right? Gzela is when I steal, but you know it's like open and notorious. Geneva,
I'm not afraid of
I
God,
come home to your home and
and
I steal
I'm
my
not
stuff.
afraid of anyone
Right. Okay, so you
as a
have the
person.
answers, Fern. You don't need me. You have all the answers. But that's correct. Everything you say is correct. Anyway, so, but okay, let me move on because we're running out of time. Okay, I got to keep moving now. Let's see back in the Gemara. Now, okay. So now the Gemara says, though, on line six, Elahadam Arava. Now, in the way we said the pshat before, we said that Beit Shammai holds that for Shlichas Yad you don't need a Chisaron, and Beit Hillel holds you do need a Chisaron. Elahadam Arava Shlichas Yad in the Chisaron, but Rava says, and Beit Shammai Hillel Tanayim, but Rava says Halacha is that Shlichas Yad doesn't require a Chisaron. So Lema Rava Damar to Beit Shammai, should we say that Rava is only going with Beit Shammai? Unlikely. So scratch that pshat. Elahacha b'mayaskinan. So different pshat. So delete everything we said. So elahacha b'mayaskinan. Don't shetilt la laviyala goes alone. Why don't we say the cases with the shomer? The shomer moved the barrel to use it like a ladder to stand on the barrel to get pigeons. So he says v'shoel shlomidad kamiflagi. And the point of the dispute between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in our Mishnah is. If I borrow something, quote unquote, without your knowledge or consent, what's the status? So Beit Shammai holds, you're Shlomo Shlomidas, I have another word for you, Gazlan. In other words, I saw your bicycle, I borrowed it, I'm going to bring it back. So I'm a Gazlan. He says, V'chi chaser, v'shuti de chaser. So if a price goes down, that happened on his watch, on the Shoel, the Gazlan's watch. Even though he was a shomer before, but now he used it. Now his status has changed. Uvin Hill Sabri, Shoel Shlomidad, Shoel Hadi. Uvin Hill holds, no, Shoel Shlomidad, he's a Shoel. He says, he doesn't intend to steal it, he's borrowing it. Uvin Chaser, Beshut Debar Chaser. And when it goes down, and the ownership of the original person. So the price went down. So according to Beit Shammai, he owes the higher price because. Because that's when he stole it. He used it. That's when he's stealing it. So now he's a Gazlan. So he owes the higher price. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, Shoel Shlomidad is a Shoel, and then the thing gets destroyed or it's worth less. So when it went down, it was still in the ownership of the original owner. So the Gemara says, "Alahadam Rava Shoel Shlomidad Rabbanan Gazlan Habi." Rava says, "Shoel Shlomidad according to the Chachamim is a Gazlan." Same thing as before. Should we say Rabbi is working with the Beit Shammai? Unlikely. Now the Gemara has a sea change in the shot in the Mishnah. So up until now, we thought the Mishnah was talking about a fluctuation in price. That's what we thought, like in the market, the fluctuation in price. And we're trying to explain the Mishnah in different ways, explain like liability for the higher price, the lower price. Now the Gemara says, no, we're not talking about any fluctuation in price. We're talking about he stole, let's say, a sheep, and the sheep, while it's in possession of the shomer, you know, it gave birth or something like that, or he sheared the wool. He says, "Halachah b'shevach shel gazela k'miflagi." Beit Shammai sabri shevach gazela denigzal hab. Beit Shammai holds that any shevach, any improvement in the gazela, that belongs to the victim. In other words, even though the gazlan may be feeding it, things like that, but if it gives birth to a blood, that belongs to the nigzal. He says, "Ubin Hill Sabri Shevach Gazela the Gazlan Havi." In Hill holds any Shevach that belongs to the Gazlan. He says, meaning, so that being the case, so in the Mishnah when it says "Ubin Hill Omrim," excuse me, "Ubin Shammai Omrim Yilakibah Chaser Ubiater," the Shammai is saying, let's say the person steals a sheep or he's a shomer, but he misappropriates, you know, Reuben's sheep that was left in his custody. So if the sheep needed a haircut when it arrived, and he sheared the wool, so that he owes that's the chaser. In other words, that's the chaser. In other words, he reduced the value by shearing the sheep, but he owes the wool. And if, let's say, a few months later the sheep became pregnant and gave birth, now that's an added asset. So that's the yeter. So it's a different shot. In other words, so Beit Shammai is saying the shomer, now that he has misappropriated the sheep, is chayev b'chaser u'b'yeter. In other words, anything that's taken from that sheep, he owes back to the original owner, because Beit Shammai holds that that shevach, was it that shevach, what's the expression? Shevach gezela denigzal havi. Then holds shevach gezela degazlan havi. Beit Shammai holds, no, any shevach that accrues belongs to the gazlan. So he's going to pay. So therefore Beit Hillel says, kishat hotza'a. In other words, he owes at the time that it was stolen, the price that when the thing was stolen, that's all he owes. He doesn't own any improvement after that, he doesn't owe. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, we'll plug to that, and I got to pick up the pace now. I apologize. We only have 10 minutes left. We'll plug to Dani tonight. So the machloket in Hilbe Shammai will track the following machloket tonight. The Tanya, and we had this price before. Eventually, you have everything. The Tanya, a gozel at a Rachel, the person stole a ewe, E-W-E, but like a sheep, gazes of Yalda, and then he sheared it, and or it gave birth. Mishalim otavia gizotavia lorota de Remeir. Remeir says, you owe the shearings, and you owe from blotto. So Remeir is lined up with Beit Shammai. That's Remeir is like Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai is the one who says, you're chai for chaser and yeter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zela Choser Beinev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just give the sheep back, and we'll call a day. So, but I think it means, though, that he owes the shearing, the initial shearing that he owes, because that's the time he stole it, it had that wool on it. So the Gemara says, Dekanami, Dekatani, Bichamim, Yila, Kebachaser, Vyater. So a careful reading of the Mishnah will yield the same result, because the Mishnah, Bichamim, refers to Chaser, Vyater. It doesn't so like Zol and Yoker, like the price went down, the price went up. It says Chaser, Vyater. In other words, if the item, you know, was like something was taken off the item, something was added on to the item, meaning the wool was taken off, or the blood was added on. Okay, now let's take a look for one second. So if you look at the Rashi, l'hach b'shevak zela pli, you get it quickly. He says v'hai chasav yachid banitin in Rashi la b'yukar v'zula. It's not talking about price going up or price going down, fluctuations of price. It'll buy the chasra dinu gizot. In other words, it became more diminished because the wool was taken off it. My shahotira. It got more gone in the Abra Itzlo. It became pregnant in the custody of the Goslin. The Beit Shammai Sabri ha kol yishalim kremeir debraita. And Shammai says, you got to pay everything. The value of the wool, the value of the blood, or give the blood back, everything. Ubin Hillel, Rebbe Yehuda, shat hotzami beit abalim. Rebbe Yehuda says, you owe the value of the sheep at the time it was taken from the base of Baalim. Okay, now, back in the Gemara, the two dots. Rebbe Akiva Merit shat hatuyam. Rebbe Akiva says, that the price will be at the time that the person is sued and based in. So I'm Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yudas is in Shul, halacha pa'al is Rabbi Akiva. Umoda Rabbi Akiva, kom shesh edim, but Rabbi Akiva concedes, if there are edim that he stole it, then we're going to do as of the date that he stole it. If there are edim that, in other words, he's accused of stealing it, and then he comes to Bezdin, and he stole it, so that'll be the date. But if there are edim that he stole it, we're going to do as of the date of the theft. This is my time on Damar Krala, Sherhu Lo, Yenenu B'yom Ashmato. That he should restore the money to the person B'yom Ashmato, the day his guilt is established. So if there are edim, so we're going to do the date in the time of the theft, the edim saw him take it. So again, so we're saying in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva says, we're going to do the date of Hamad Abedin, that he sued in Bezdin, whatever the value was of the item as of that date, that'll be the date, that'll be the amount he'll pay. But we want to say, Rabbi Yehuda's name is Shmuel, says, Allah looks like Rabbi Akiva, but he says, well, if there are eight, then we'll do from the time of the theft. So Amalei Rav Oshi el Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Oshi says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who just said the Allah name is Shmuel. Rabbi, Atal Meir Kane, is that really the pshat you're saying, Rabbi? Hakimar, Rabbi Amar Yochanan, Chalukhi Rekiva, that Rabbi Yochanan said that the Tan Rabbi Akiva disagreed even in his Edim. Even as Edim, he says, we're going to do the time of Hamad Abedin. My time, Damar Krala Shu Lo, Yenner B'yom Ashmato, you give it on the day that you're found guilty. Ubeidino Hu Dekamachaybi Layashma. It's the Bezdin that's going to declare him liable. So the fact that the Edim saw it per se doesn't do. We're going to have one date, the day you brought him to the Bezdin. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Abba Bar Papa, Ki Azalatam, when you go, Rabbi Zeira, who eventually made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael as well, but he says, Rabbi Abba Papa, when you go from here, Babel, to Eretz Yisrael, Akiv Hasuma Tzur. Why don't you divert Hasuma Tzur? We've had this before as the escarpment by Tzur Tyre, where Hezbollah holds sway now. And he says, V'ul Gabi Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edi. And then maybe could you visit Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edi, who buy me and ask him, Ishmile Rabbi Yochanan lachik Rabbi Akiva and lachik Rabbi Akiva, and ask him whether he stated that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So Amarle, so eventually he goes and he visits him and he comes back. Amarle hachim Rabbi Yochanan lachik Rabbi Akiva liolam. It says halacha follows by Rabbi Akiva liolam in all cases. So my liolam, what does it mean? So Amar Rabashi, So Tamar Hanimile Hechad Leka Edom. Don't say the Lux like Rabbi Akiva in the time of Tibia if there's no Edom. Abal Hechad Yika Edom Lo, but if there are Edom, we're not going to do the date of Tibia, the date that he's brought to Bezdin. And meaning, we're going to do, don't say that, the Lux like Rabbi Akiva in all instances. So the time of Hamad Abedin is the date that we're going to make the evaluation of what the item is worth. In other words, at the time of Hamad Abedin is the time we're going to make the evaluation of the item Kadon that the Shomer misused. Whether there's witnesses or no witnesses, we're going to do the Teva Hamad Abedin. He says, Halakhic Rabbi Akiva Li Olam, in all instances. Or the Inami, or else the Gemara says, the Pshat could be different. It's a totally different Halakha that Rabbi Akiva says. It's talking about, and we have this already, the Hadra Dukhta Itabra, that it means somebody stole something and restored it back, and then it broke, we have to restore it back. Remember, we had this earlier. La Pukin, Rabbi Shmuel da Amar, Lo Ba'ina Dat Balim. Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't need the knowledge of the son of the owner to restore something. Kamashlan, Ba'ina Dat Balim. Rabbi Kiva holds you need Das Balim. So the Pshat is Halach Rabbi Kiva the Lam, either in all instances, meaning whether it's whether there's Adam or no Adam, the Lux like Rabbi Kiva, the Yatshana bin, or Lux like Rabbi Kiva the Lam, the Lux like Rabbi Kiva here, but it's also Lux like Rabbi Kiva in, you know, in another case that we had earlier. If you steal something and put it back in the Rishis Lebalim, but you don't notify the owners, are you still responsible for it or not? So according to Rabbi Shmuel, not. But according to Rabbi Kiva, yeah, you are. So it looks like Rabbi Kiva. Okay, Rav Amar, Halakhi Beit Hillel. Rav says, the Halakhi here is like Beit Hillel. Look at Rashi. Rav Amar, Halakhi Beit Hillel, Tishat Gizela. In other words, we're going to look at the Shat Gizela is the time that we're going to evaluate the Chefza. And Shat Hotza'a means So Kshat Hotza'a, we ended up saying that it meant the time. Let's say Kshat Hotza'a, he says the time of the gazela, right? So Kshat Hotza'a, the time that he removes it from the balim, is that's the time of the Beit Hillel. So Rashi says, "Ba'anan karaba abdinan dehavalei batra." Rashi, you can see if you're living in the time of Rashi Bali Kosol, you don't have like all these halachic svarim. So you need to know your Rashi's and the Tosfos with the Lakas. Rashi's telling us the Laka follows Beit Hillel. That's what Rashi says. Although, I don't know Halach Lamaisa whether we do it that way. I don't see that they have the letters here, so it does not look like necessarily that would be the case. Okay, let me do the next Mishnah, then we got to go, and then we'll have 30 seconds for questions. That'll be it. Okay, Manithin. Let's say, well, please, just 1 minute, 1 minute. Okay. Okay, I'm in a little shoe. Just 1 minute. Ani omeid betoch shiur, 1 minute. He says, hachoshev l'shlok. Okay, so come join, so have a seat. Okay, so the Gemara says, here, sit over here, sit over here, sit over here. Okay, all right, now, okay, so hachoshev l'shlok ya pikadon. The person just thinks he's going to misappropriate a pikadon. Now, Rashi adds right away, amar b'fnei edim etopik deno shalponi la'atzmi. He says in front of edim, it's a little similar. That we had, remember, can you think of a similar machloket about whether Choshe even have to say something or not? Does anything come to mind? So we had by Pigol, right? In other words, that person has machshava Pigol. So some Rishon hold that it's not enough to have a machshava, you actually have to say it. So Rashi here says that he, then when it says think, it means that he says, I intend to steal this pitaron. So Beit Shammai Omrim Chayav. Beit Shammai says, he immediately becomes Chayav for, you know, on onsen, anything that happens with Bikaron, he's a thief already. Behillel says, no, he's not chayiv until he actually, you know, does something. You know, physically, he ends up using the item and maybe even using a part of the item. Shinemar im lo shlach yedobim lecha reyehu. He tied a chavid and a talimen revi at the nishbara. Now, let's say he tips over the chavid of wine and he takes a revi of wine for himself and then the whole casket breaks. But if he lifts up, in other words, he does a masi kinyan, he lifts up the whole barrel and he takes a reviyat, then v'nishbara mishalim is mekula. That's the din of shlichas yad. We said, by shlichas yad, if I'm shlich yad even in a part of the item, then I'm chayav for the whole item. So if I do an active kinyan, I do a hagbah with it, and then I take even a reviyat for it, the whole thing, I'm chayav on for the whole thing. Okay, now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay. Well, no, I remember by Pigel, there was a machloket Rishon, but we'll see what's going on over here. Okay, let me just do a story in a little bit.
Rabbi, I have a question from Zoomland.
What's the question?
There is such a concept that machshava ra'a lo mitzarevet lemaase. So if a person thought about doing something but didn't do it, why are there repercussions?
Yeah. And you're talking about kasha with mon again. So you're talking about avera. In other words, the person thinks he's going to commit an act of adultery with someone, and then he doesn't commit the act of adultery. So Hashem doesn't count it like the same. He did the act of adultery because he just thought he was going to do the act of adultery. Here we're talking about the chiyuvim of a shomer. So according to Beit Shammai, the chiyuvim of the shomer, once he does shlichus yad, according to Beit Shammai, shlichus yad is just that I think that I'm going to steal it. That's already shlichus yad. Okay, running
out of
time.
That's an avera. That is an avera.
Daniel, I want to do story and that's it. Okay, now. Okay, today's not discussed the guardian who steals or even considers stealing a deposit. Once the Chafetz Chaim had to be in a certain town for Shabbos, he had in his possession a fairly large sum of money. He was selling copies of his Mishnah Berurah on the road, which he needed to deposit in a safe place for Shabbos. He went to the local Rav's house and explained that he had money and he could not comfortably leave in his possession for the duration of Shabbos. For a moment, he looked out the window as if he was looking for someone besides the Rav. When no one passed by, he placed the money on the Rav's table and wished him a good Shabbos. On Sunday, the Chafetz Chaim returned to the Rav to say goodbye for leaving the town. The Rav was very surprised that strange Meshulach did not ask for his money back. He assumed that any moment the Meshulach would recall his deposit, and he watched him from the window to see how long it would take before the forgotten money would sink in. But he was shocked to see the Meshulach get into a wagon, clearly with every intention of departing the town. The Rav ran after the wagon, but when it didn't stop, he began shouting to the driver. The wagon driver figured that the Rav also wished to travel with him, so he immediately halted the wagon. "Don't you remember that you left money with me before Shabbos?" blurted the Rav. "Of course I remember," replied the Chafetz Chaim. "Why didn't you ask for it when we parted?" asked the puzzled Rav. "Chazal forbid us to lend or leave money with another without witnesses in order to spare the person receiving the money the challenge of denying that he received anything. In order to avoid violating this prohibition, I left the money on your table as a gift." "You can have it back," replied the Rav, impressed with such uprightness. "I give it to you wholeheartedly." The Rav was flummoxed when the Chafetz Chaim refused, explaining that he never accepted personal gifts. It was only after the money was declared ownerless in the public domain the Chafetz Chaim would take back would have been his own money. In other words, so name out to know. Okay, we got to get going. Okay, 1 second. Let me do this.